everyone, and welcome to another episode of Fuel for Thought. This is co-host Sam Bierenbaum of Auto Car Club. Eli could not make it today, unfortunately. He is at the racetrack at Apex in Maricopa. He is actually, you know, enjoying his prep day for racing tomorrow. So we have launched our fully comprehensive racing program with coaching, engineering, personal, pretty much factory level racing. And Eli is our driver for our Auto Works team. So he is down there with the team now prepping the GT4 Club Sport MR and will be competing in the, I believe, the GT2 class race tomorrow. So, you know, stay tuned on the social media channels for that. It's going to really be a fantastic day. The weather lately in Phoenix is, I would call it, immaculate. I mean, it's just beautiful weather, really good temperatures for racing, clear skies, low humidity. It's a little bit windy, though, and I hope that does not affect the testing too much. But with a good team, good support, good tires, and a good driver, all the ingredients are there for a very, very good recipe. So I am going to move on, and we are going to dial in our guest for today's episode, Robert Linton. Robert Linton, I call him the maestro of Porsche modifications. He is the, how can I explain Robert Linton? He is the leading pioneer of factory modified Porsches with a full factory backing by Porsche OEM. He has very, very long-standing and important ties to the Porsche factory. He has very good relationships with the whole team at Weissach and Flacht, and he really, really, you know, takes a modification of a car to a next level, whereas someone like myself may put wheels and tires on a car and maybe do suspension. Robert Linton is re-engineering entire 911Rs. He is stripping out stereo systems in his GT2 RS. He is creating custom paint samples for all of his cars. He even works closely with BMW. He has an M4 GTS, which is highly modified and bespoke. He has a BMW Z8, which is also very bespoke. So I will let him do the talking. We're going to dial him in right now. I will pause the podcast for a second, and we'll get back to you when I'm on the line with Robert. What is happening? Let's dive right in. Tell me about what is the latest and greatest with your Porsches. I think we should just start out there. I've already given a nice intro, and I'm sure all of our listeners are pretty familiar with who you are and what you're all about at this point.
Oh, yes, the latest and greatest is we're making a fair amount of progress on the beryllium brakes, both for the 911R and for the America GS. The work on the 911R engine has started. That's going to take several months to test and play with different parts and see what we need to do with it. I think probably have to make some changes in the ECU because the internals of that engine are going to be reduced by an awful lot of weight, maybe up to 10 pounds.
So can we dive into
almost another 20 pounds off of it?
Can we dive into a little more detail in regards to what you are doing to that motor? Because I've had some extensive seat time in Eli's 911R, which he had acquired a few months ago, and there's not much him and I can think of that we would want to change about that car. However, we always talk, you know, discuss, if this car feels this good stock, what does Robert's feel like? So what is going on with that motor?
And hopefully, it will definitely spool up quicker. There's no question about that, because taking 8 to 10 pounds off the internal rotating mass is a heck of a lot. We might even get a bit of horsepower out of it.
Wow.
We actually did an exhaust system, which looks like it's gained 17 horsepower just from the exhaust, and real horsepower, not, you know, sort of pretend or marketing horsepower, because I have nobody to market to.
Right.
And the simulations show we can probably get another 3 horsepower out of it. So we're going to try.
Fantastic.
We're going to redesign the headers a little bit. and see what happens. And if we get another 3, that's 20 just from that without touching the engine. And that's not bad.
That's phenomenal.
But I suspect that with the new parts, the pistons, the valves, the crankshaft, the rods, and whatever else we come up with, it should help a bit.
We're
redoing the induction box, so it's going to have a dual resonance flap as the 991.2 GT motors have.
Right.
And that absolutely demonstrably gives you a better sort of mid-range. And so that's absolutely going to help too. So when you combine it all together, it might really be something.
You're going to have a really potent car. It's going to be incredible. I mean,
that's probably a fair statement.
Yeah.
If we manage to get 300 to 500 pounds off of it, add that to, or more precisely, subtract it, and you'll have more of a potent car, to use your phrase.
Right. You're adding lightness, as I believe Colin Chapman once said, which is really
probably a good phrase. Yep.
It's the best of the best. It's a little bit of a statement of irony, but it's really true. I mean, to add in lightness to a car, and we always say it, I drove actually the other night, one of my friends just got a very mint and clean Mazda Miata, and I said to him, the reason why this car is so damn good is because it's so light. I mean, how could you have a car with so little horsepower and really not much to it, but there is so much to it because there's so much lacking from it in weight in that regards. So I think we're all on the same page there that light cars are really the most fantastic things that have graced the automotive world.
And you have to approach any car in a pretty systematic way. You really have to look at almost every part and say, can I make it better and lighter? And better is the key, because you don't want to make it lighter and a worse part or
sure.
a weaker part.
Sure.
So it's a combination of not just taking weight off, but making sure that everything it was supposed to do is either the same or slightly better, maybe sometimes a lot better.
Right. I agree.
So, I mean, stripping things out is very easy. Anybody can take a hammer or a saw and strip things out. But that's never been the goal here. It's to reduce weight and improve performance and reliability other than just by taking weight off.
Sure, and to maintain the Porsche factory standard of just extraordinarily, well-built automobiles and high standards of build quality and refinement. It just sounds like a dream car to me. And I would like to move on to discussing your GT2 RS and talking a little about the progress in regards to the audio system that you've put in the car that you and I briefly discussed.
Yeah, it's the first factory installed, very upper end audio system since the late 80s, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed just like a delightful kind of a contradiction to add a big audio system to the GT2. And as you saw from the video a couple of days ago, the head of GT2 seemed to think it was a pretty good idea.
Yes, that's right. And if anyone...
Mr. Pointinger was having a lot of fun.
That's fantastic. It's a really great video. Robert Linton's Instagram is robertlinton1. And his third to last post, there is a great short clip of Andy Preuninger in Robert's GT2 RS jamming out to some good music coming through that stereo. What's going on with that stereo system? Who, donated the parts? Where did you source the parts from? What's the whole process looking like?
No one donated the parts.
Well, of course not.
I kind of wish they would, but nobody did, of course.
That would have been nice.
No, the parts, it's a combination. We used Moscone amplifiers, Focal speakers, which are French, Moscone is Italian, of course, and my folks built the carbon fiber subwoofer enclosure and the aluminum metal matrix composite speaker adapters.
Wow.
And the funny thing is, just as a side note, I thought that the carbon fiber subwoofer enclosure was going to be covered in either leather, Alcantara, or both.
Right.
But But when it got to Porsche, everybody looked at it and said, this is great, right? And at least for the moment. And then when Mr. Preuninger came and looked, he pointed out that the carbon fiber was not going in the same direction as the rest of the carbon fiber in the car, the weave, exactly.
Yes.
Right? And so we just issued a drawing to Mr. Preuninger showing what we think is the correct direction that each panel should be, and he approved it, and now we're going to make a second box.
Well, I respect his eye for detail, but that must have been...
He's as good as it gets.
Yeah, it must have been a combination of, oh, crap, now we have to take this back to the drawing board.
No, actually not. Actually not, because it's just building a new box with having the weave in a... some of the weave in a different direction.
Oh,
I mean,
good.
Again, we all expected it to be covered, so it didn't matter. But as the decision was to leave it raw, might as well have it right.
I agree.
So
I mean,
it's being redone correctly.
At your level
Herbert
of... Sorry, go ahead. George Herman Walker?
No, I was going to say, as George Herbert Walker Bush, meaning Bush 1, said, close counts only in horseshoes and hand grenades. Unfortunately, not in carbon fiber weave.
There you go.
We always say,
I forget the expression now, but if it's not, you know, if it's good enough, it's not very good, you know? Anyway, so...
Well...
Moving, let's see.
It is one of those things.
Let's see what else we have. I'm scrolling through your Instagram feed because your Instagram has sort of turned into what I would call the just nerddom, you know, it's of Porsche and BMW modifications and watches, and it's almost like its own Wikipedia page in a way. It just has so much information. And good photos. Where do you think this is all going to lead to? Like, is there any trajectory here that has been planned, or it's all
and
organic?
And soon we'll have a bunch of Viper things and a bunch of Demon things and some other things. But no, it doesn't have a commercial purpose. It's strictly for fun. We're not selling parts. We'll never sell parts. Won't even, you know, I've had a couple of offers lately. If I would sponsor such and such, they'd give me such and such. But no, there's no spot. We're not doing anything commercial.
Awesome.
Absolutely zero. Not selling names, not doing anything.
Yeah, I mean...
just for fun, nothing else whatsoever. And that will not change, ever.
Yeah, and I think in many ways some of the best stories and just narratives in the automotive sphere come from people purely having fun and just, enjoying a passion project rather than doing things in order to make money off of it or, make profit. And it's a very pure thing that you're doing because it's clearly what you love, and it's fantastic to see.
Well, and the other thing is, if you start to sell things, then everything has to be a compromise.
Right.
Things have to be cheaper. They can't be as good because they have to be saleable at a price.
Right.
This way, there is no compromise. And that's what the interesting part is, I think.
Yeah. So what's going on a different topic? We talk a lot about Porsches on our episodes with you on this podcast. What's going on with your Jaguar, your Jaguar Project 8?
It like the Viper, it like the Demon, has been taking kind of a back seat to get some of these Porsche things done.
Right.
But we're going to do small things. I mean, we're just going to do a new set of wheels, which are going to be a gold color, which I think works better with the pearlescent white than, in fact, the black does.
Beautiful.
And haven't really looked at what mechanical upgrades are really worth doing to that thing. I mean, frankly, that car is one of those cars, sort of like the Club Coupe, the Porsche Club Coupe,
right,
that maybe we do almost nothing to, because it's just really good how it is. And I'm not sure we're going to get it a lot better unless we start to rebuild the entire car.
Right.
I mean, maybe we'll bring the height of the wing up a little bit because aerodynamically it seems a bit low.
Now, does your particular car have the rear seat delete?
No, it actually has the rear seat because that's what I wanted.
Got it. And what?
I wanted that to be a four-door car, no question. A four-seat car, too.
What do you like about that car the best out of, you know, out of the box? What's your favorite aspect of that vehicle?
I think it's got a charm to it, and the charm is it's sort of, call it something akin to a GT3, but it's a four-door car
right. And
comfortably seats four people.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's clearly not a GT3, but it's a four-door version.
Sure, sure.
And this one, of course, has a special paint job and a number of things, and it doesn't have decals. The stripes are, of course, painted.
I mean, a lot of little things. Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting.
The only one which had painted stripes, believe it or not.
Huh. So the other stripes were just decals on the other?
All of the other ones, I do believe, are painted, are decals.
I really like how they truly widen the track of that car, that rear axle, and you see it in the photo you posted, it looks like on the 22nd of September, the rear haunches of that car, it's kind of what I wish the Mercedes C63 had, or even the new M3 kind of carries that design language over, but this car really, they accentuated that, and it looks the best for it. I mean, it's beautiful.
Well, I think they changed pretty much every body panel of the Project 8 other than the hood and the doors.
Right.
They spent a fair amount of time and money doing it. And that's another reason it's kind of nice, because there are only 300 of them.
Right. It's a very bespoke car. More or less.
Yeah.
Not as bespoke as some of your other vehicles.
No, but again, to me, with all these cars, it's, for lack of a better word, I keep on coming back to charm.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a raw, brute charm like a Demon has, or an elegant charm like a 911R has.
Right.
But we're back to charm.
What's missing from your collection? What would you, in a hypothetical world, like what would you love to own?
Honestly, love is kind of a strong word.
Of course. Or
love,
what would you?
And inanimate object, but.
Understood.
I keep on toying with the idea, but I just haven't had time to get a Jaguar XKE for Jaguar to redo for me.
Ah, yes. That'd be nice.
That's one possibility. I have no interest in the, you know, so-called hypercars, Pagani, Koenigsegg, you know, Aston Martin, whatever they call it, the Valkyrie or whatever.
So I mean, saw that car in person. It's actually pretty impressive. I think it's, and I'm not one for hypercars either, and I know that sounds ironic. I'm 23 years old, so I should be drooling over them, but I'm more of, you know, a fan of the cars that you work around and own, but the new Aston Martin Valkyrie, and then their new, I believe it's called the Valhalla, the more road-going iteration.
Correct, yeah.
I think they look pretty incredible. I mean, Adrian Newey, I believe, is the head engineer. I mean, I think
at least he's given big credit from a marketing point of view. But all those cars are, you know, they're cars of the minute,
mm-hmm.
and months later they'll be obsoleted by something else. There is no long-term charm, and they all, to me, they just scream, look at me, I'm so wonderful.
All right, good point.
And I've never had an interest. I just don't.
Okay.
I'm certainly not looking for anybody to look at me. I mean, I'm just a person.
Right.
No big deal either way. But plus, if you look at all those hypercars, they tend to be uncomfortable. They tend to be not even have the slightest bit of practicality.
Right.
I mean, the Valhalla, the Valkyrie are great if you can drive them on a perfectly level road. You get bumps. Good luck.
Right. You're right.
I mean, years ago, just to tell you a quick story, when the original M1 was out.
Yeah, so 87 and 88, around then.
Yeah. whenever the heck it was, the then king of Jordan, what was his name?
I can pull it up. I know off the top of my head.
Was it King Hussein?
Sounds right to me.
Right. He actually, there was one street in the capital of Jordan that was level, and they had to truck
Hussein of
M1
Jordan, yeah.
to
yeah.
that one street, take it off the truck, and he would drive back and forth on that one street. That's all he could use it for.
Wow. Yeah, I mean,
it's crazy.
You really need good infrastructure for these cars, and if you don't have roads that are paved or paved well, it's pretty impossible.
It's
paved well, you know. There's no point in owning these cars if you don't have a place to drive them and enjoy them, because at that point, why even own them?
Well, and try sitting in some of those. A seating position is right if you happen to be a race driver. If you're not, and then if you want to take a friend along, right, you can say, gee, friend, come along and be uncomfortable.
right.
Never made a whole lot of sense either.
Have you been watching any of these press videos that Gordon Murray Automotive has been releasing on YouTube with in regards to the progression of the T50 development?
I have not, actually.
I'll send you a link to the most recent one where they have the motor in a test mule, and it is unbelievably impressive. I mean, it revs to 12,000 RPM. The flywheel is so light that they actually have to program an auto blipping system not only for the downshifts but also for the upshifts. So I think it's going to be a fantastic. What do you think about that car? I think we touched upon it in our last episode, but I want to hear your opinion.
I think it is billed from a marketing point of view as the successor to the F1.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the truth is the F1 is, what, 20-plus years old now, and it looks dated, no matter how, quote, good a car it might or might not be.
Sure.
It looks dated. I think the T50, particularly as you go rearwards, doesn't look particularly good.
Right.
I'm worried about the fan blowing things at the car behind you.
Yeah, that kind of concerns me, too. I'm not really sure how that's all going to work out.
You know, again, I think if you're going on a road by yourself, fine. I think the car is billed as about the size of a Cayman, right?
Right, it's small.
And I sure wouldn't want to put three people across in a Cayman. They'd all be miserable. I think the same is probably true here, if it is indeed that size. And my personal opinion is that the interior looks not so much, as they say.
Right.
Looks to me a bit like they ran out of money.
Once they got to the interior.
And I'm surprised he's doing marketing videos, because I thought they're all sold.
Right. I think it's more so for documentation. They are all sold, so they say. But I think he is someone who just wants everything documented. So like the F1... in, you know, the era before YouTube, they created that beautiful factory book, that coffee table book, off the top of my head. I think it's just called the McLaren F1 book. Let me look it up. And I think this is his new medium for documenting. Yeah, it's called Driving Ambition, the official inside guide or story to the McLaren F1. So in a way, I feel like this is just a new platform for him to replicate his documentation. But hey, we'll only know until we get to drive it. I hope I get to drive that car one day. So someone at Auto, I hope they can buy it so I can get a ride in it.
I confess, I actually know one person who has bought one, but he hasn't gotten it yet.
Sure.
Overseas. And, getting back to an engine revving at 12,000 RPM, after a few minutes, you're going to have a headache.
Yeah.
And while, again, it's a great marketing point and the noise and all that, from a day-to-day point of view, I'm not sure I'd like to sit behind 12,000 RPM screaming at me. Unless people forget that real race drivers wear earplugs.
Right, right. That's true. That is very true.
Because it's just plain uncomfortable, and it might have a, you know, again, it is great from a marketing point of view. It's sort of like electric cars were marketing 1,000 horsepower, 1,500 horsepower.
Right.
It's great until people have accidents.
Yeah, that is true.
And it won't be so great.
So.
And then regulators will come in and limit horsepower, in my view at least.
Yeah. Do you think we're about to emerge into the era of purely electric cars only? I mean, what do you think there's any alternative right now?
Well, when you say electrics, do you mean electric or do you mean electric autonomous?
I don't, in my mind, associate electric cars with autonomous. I think you could have, in theory, an autonomous vehicle that is not powered by electric propulsion.
So Absolutely.
When I say electric cars, I mean only the powertrain.
Got it. I think regulators are pushing people in that direction. Ironically, I don't know a single engineer at any of the auto companies who is working on those cars that thinks it's the long-term solution. If you look at the pollution equation between the batteries, power generating, it doesn't get you all that much at all.
Right, right.
So there's still actually quite a lot of talk about hydrogen, synthetic fuels, and or something else, nobody knows what. But engineers don't seem to think electric is really the answer.
So there have been whisperings, and I don't have this from any certain source, that the next Porsche Cayman will be purely electric only.
I think that's correct. Yep.
What do you think about that? What's your thoughts?
I think that's where the market is going at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I say again, I think that car manufacturers are being pushed in that direction and have no choice.
Right.
And regulations are coming in which are forcing them to do that. I mean, I'm sure it'll be a good car, no question about
it. Probably be
fantastic.
And
I guess it'll gain a fair amount of horsepower.
And weight.
Because it has an electric engine. It'll gain weight, too, a bit at least. But it is where we currently are at. So my opinion, frankly, means absolutely nothing, right? The fact is we're all being forced into doing it.
Yeah. Well.
But is it a great thing? Maybe not.
Yeah, I think electric cars for A to B transport, if you just look at it as a mobility pod or just a form of transportation, almost like an appliance, I think they sort of make sense. But for driving pleasure and enjoyment and for people who own cars because they like the sensory aspect of driving and the sound, the noise, the vibrations, it's, you know, you'll never have that same experience in the electric cars. However, like I said, I just think there is a big place for them as far as, oh, I need to get from A to B, electric car. You know, don't have to think about it. The only moving parts are the brakes and the wheels and the doors. I mean, and that's not even a moving mechanical part. So as the world gets busier and busier and we try cramming in more things into our schedule because technology has allowed us to, the electric car sort of, in a way, fits that whole new world lifestyle in a way.
Well, you've ironically made the argument not so much for electric, but for fully autonomous cars.
Right, right. And then we can move on to that because, yeah, you're right. I mean, you don't have to.
And I think, sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
And I think within the next 10 to 15 years, within the United States at least, autonomous cars will become the prevalent form of transportation.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe 10 years after that, the regulators will have no choice but to ban everything but fully autonomous from roads because it just won't be safe.
Yeah, you need
to have a human doing things and having a machine doing things.
Right. We need a whole
system. And then you've got a real problem, or not a problem, a real issue.
Right.
For instance, are all of the cars we now value and cars that people collect because they're supposed to be worth a lot, are they all going to be suddenly worth nothing because you can't use them?
Right. That's very
true. You can't even bring them out on a public road. That's possible. In which case, take all these expensive cars and value them as I always tell people they should value any car anyway, at zero. Mm-hmm. Absolute zero. It'll never go below that.
Yeah, it's a hard thing because now I have moved into a sales role here at Otto and we're opening up an official sales department. And as someone who in many ways agrees with what you just said, you know, just buy a car to enjoy it. Don't think about it as an investment. Don't buy a car and say, what am I going to get out of this in a monetary, you know, or what am I going to get out of it?
I would never buy any object as an investment.
Just buy and enjoy. Just buy it to enjoy it, and especially buy it and drive it. And I make the joke all the time, and people say I'm an asshole because I say this, but if you want to buy a car just to store in a garage and look at it, then why aren't you buying art? Why aren't you buying a sculpture? You know, if you want to just buy something to look at it, why buy something that was created for a purpose and the purpose is to be driven, to move, to have moving mechanical parts? I don't really see a point in hoarding vehicles without either working on them, driving them, enjoying them in whatever capacity.
And particularly given the uncertainty of the future of cars and their values,
right.
Don't buy anything you can't afford to pay for in cash.
I agree.
Don't go into debt for an uncertainty. I mean, some of this is going crazy. I just got an email that said I could buy a new sprayer wand to wash my car, and it's $49.
Right.
And I can finance it for $12.12 a month. But gosh, if you can't pay the $49, don't go into debt for a silly spray nozzle.
Right.
Let alone a car.
I agree.
It just seems so insane. And not good for anybody.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Now, people should save their money and spend it, you know, on themselves, their kids, education, right. Future, but not on iron or aluminum or carbon fiber or steel, if you will.
Right.
If you can't pay for it, don't go into debt.
Right.
Doesn't make a whole lot of sense either, at least to me. What do I know?
Yeah, no, I agree. What do I know either? Anyway, let me think about what else we have on the docket today. Any other topics you want to touch upon before we move on to another conversation topic?
Let me just think anything else. I think the GT2 sound thing actually came off very, very well.
Good.
Everybody at Porsche apparently is taking a turn in listening to it, I'm told.
It's fantastic.
Well, they're having fun with it.
Yeah. They're having some fun over there. Sounds like they're friends down in Italy.
Well,
making a joke.
Yeah. No, I think I'm totally open. Next topic, I can't think of anything that's
so
desperately exciting.
We had an event last night, Otto Car Club and IWC Schaffhausen Watches. They had a very, very lovely pop-up event. It was catered by Nobu. It was in Fashion Square in Scottsdale. And they had a very large selection of watches, a few which have not been released yet to the public. What do you think about IWC? I know you're a big watch guy.
Not a big watch guy, but I think...
You like watches.
IWC. Absolutely. That's true. I think IWC is a... don't mean to say it this way, but sort of a middle market brand.
Okay, I think they're attempting to kind of move up. I mean, their product is very nice. I think they have beautiful watches, though.
Their product is nice, but it's not at the level of some of the others. It's not Patek. It's not Lange.
It's not.
Have you seen independent brands like Mosier or De Batoon, for example?
Yes, I have actually. I'm not very familiar with them, but what do you think about those watch marks? What makes them so just untouchable for you?
Well, a Rolex, of course, is a very nice watch, but it's a very standard kind of watch,
right?
And it's a whole lot of marketing and value, but they are at the end of the day, they're relatively simple. I mean, again, for me, it's not so much the movement, although real watch experts love movements and love finishing, whatever. I kind of just like how it looks. Mm-hmm. And I like simple watches. I don't have any, you know, perpetual calendar watches because I never have time to wind it every day, in all truth.
Right, right.
It's that simple. So I tend to stay with time only or chronographs. I don't think I have a perpetual at all. I might have an annual calendar from a firm that's somewhat so or has been associated a bit with Porsche called Laurent Ferrier.
Yes.
Because he drove a Porsche race car once upon a time and uses that as a bit of a tie to something else. And that's a very nice, independent, small brand, too. I mean, I suspect he only makes a couple hundred watches a year. Rolex makes a million. Patek makes, I think, 50 or 60,000 a year, which, relatively speaking, is enormous. The Bethune, maybe they make a couple hundred. F.P. Journe, which is a very, very good watch, I think, makes, I think, 600-700 a year. Yeah. So when you make such a small number, I think you can do interesting things.
Sure, sure. All right, well, that's fantastic.
Although Rolex makes some very good watches, and I have a few of them, and Patek does too.
All right. Well, we've had a few different watch events here, IWC, and then we had one with Bamford Watch Department, I believe, around 2 years ago.
Yep.
And watches are a very interesting world. It's sort of a whole other very car-like world that I'm not overly familiar with. I do love fine timepieces, but it is something that I would like to one day get more into.
And by the way, to draw the parallel between cars and fully autonomous cars, you have an almost direct parallel between a analog watch and electronic watch, like an iPhone watch, for instance.
Right.
Example. And one of the reasons I like watches because they're still analog. They'll probably be the last analog thing ever to be out there.
Would you ever?
Because people, again, I'm back to my word charm. You buy them because they have a charm.
Would you ever wear an iWatch?
Nope. I have no use for it. I've got a whole bunch of iPhones, because they're pretty good phones, but no iWatches. That's where it stops.
Sure. Okay. All right, well,
although the truth is, I don't wear a watch most every day either.
Right. All right. Well, I hope we can get you out to Scottsdale one day and have a look at Otto, and maybe, you know, whenever one of your vehicles is completed, we can take a look at it in person, because I'm dying to see that 911R.
That should be easily the thing that incidentally is taking the longest is the gearbox, because doing a carbon fiber gearbox involves so very much.
Yeah.
It is sadly so very slow.
Damn.
But we're getting there.
Patience, patience.
Patience, well, patience is a great thing, but occasionally you kind of run out of it too.
Sure, sure.
But I think we are getting there, so I'm okay.
I get it. All right. Well, it was a pleasure talking with you, and it's always great to have you on the podcast. We always have a lot of good comments and reviews after episodes with you, because you are just a wealth of knowledge, and definitely share the passion that all of our listeners also have. And I'll speak for myself. I'm very, very honored to speak to you. It's a great honor.
There's no honor in talking to me. I say again, I'm just another guy. But nevertheless, thank you very much and have a good weekend.
Yeah, no problem. You as well. Thank you, everyone, for listening in. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Fuel for Thought. I am Sam Bierenbaum, co-host. Eli is, as I mentioned earlier, prepping today for the race tomorrow. And we will be recording a lot more podcasts in the near future. Like we said in our Aloisa Roof podcast, we need more time. We always need more time. So we hope that everyone has a good weekend, or whenever this podcast airs, we hope you have a good day. And be sure to check out our Instagram, Otto Car Club, as well as Otto Works, for updates regarding our sales department, regarding our service department, and our racing department. A lot of big things coming from that channel. And we're very, very excited to see what the future holds for the Otto brand and Otto Works in general. If you are interested in consigning a vehicle, selling a vehicle, buying a vehicle, please feel free to reach out. Do not hesitate. Sam@autocarclub.com. I'm always on my email. I'm always on my phone. If you are interested or looking for anything in particular, we can find you the best of the best. We really try to source the best cars only with paperwork, with history, with provenance. We want you to have a car that you can enjoy and experience the world in, whether that be through events like rallies or concours, or just a car that you can hop into on either a daily basis or just a weekend basis, take to the shops, take to your local track, take on your favorite road, pick up your kids from school. And it's really, you can do whatever you like in these cars. And that's the amazing part about them, because as Robert mentioned, they won't be around for much longer, and who knows what the future holds. So we may as well enjoy what we have now. A few mentions. We have a couple cars for sale. Currently, we have a beautiful 68 Chevy C10 on Bring a Trailer right now live. We have a Miami Blue one-owner PDK GT3 991.2. It's a 2018. That will be live on Bring a Trailer on the 20th of October. Fantastic car, bucket seats, sport chrono. Talk about a car that you can just turnkey and do whatever you want with it. Daily it, track it, take it on canyons, take it to the grocery store. It's a fantastic all-rounder. And we have a few other cars in the mix. A beautiful 1966 Alfa Romeo Super Veloce GT. Just a fantastic car, kind of in this robin's egg blue color. I believe it's called Azzurro Celeste off the top of my head. Really, really nice car. And an 11,000 mile from new 1987 BMW M6. Just stunning. The car is stunning. Royal blue metallic. I've never seen a nicer one in my life. Five-speed manual, straight six. Smooth motor, needs nothing. Brand new service and tires. Very nice car. Well, we will catch you later. We hope that you continue to listen in to our episodes as they release. We will try to get them out as much as we can, and we hope you have a good day. Bye-bye. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Fuel for Thought. To listen to even more great stories from our special guests, make sure to subscribe to FFT on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. My name is Sam Bierenbaum, and on the behalf of Otto Car Club and my co-host Eli Kogan, we wish you a great rest of your day. And don't forget, no matter where you are, take some time, grab your keys, and go for a drive.